السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اجتنبوا كثيرا من الظن إن بعض الظن إثم، ولا تجسسوا ولا يغتب بعضكم بعضا، أيحب أحدكم أن يأكل لحم أخيه ميتا فكرهتموه، واتقوا الله إن الله تواب رحيم. صدق الله العظيم.
Ulama-i Kiram, most respected brothers and also sisters listening over the receivers. Last night in many places where some talks were given on the virtues of the night of Barats, one of the things that was mentioned was that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala does not forgive those people who harbor jealousy, malice against their Muslim brothers or sisters. Then those people are not forgiven unless they ask for forgiveness. They are given a time, they are given some respite, they are given a chance that they must make amends, they must try and resolve their problems, they must ask for maaf. But they must clear their hearts. That means they must not break off their relationship altogether. The family relationship and family ties are a very important part of a Muslim life and they have to be maintained. There is no such thing as formalities when it comes to relationship between parents and children. There are so many parents that require some kind of a special permission from their children to visit them. I was in one shop some years back and one customer came in there. He was from England. So the owner of the business, he introduced him to me and he said that this person is from England and speak to him. So we look for an opportunity to speak something about Islam, about Deen, about Sharia in a very indirect manner sometimes and sometimes directly. So I asked him where he has come from and what's his purpose, etc. So he said, I'm from England and I wanted to meet my son. He lives in a certain town, he said, in Hawick he lives. So when I phoned him up that I'm here, I arrived on Thursday, I phoned him up. He says, I can only give you an appointment Sunday afternoon. He needs an appointment, special appointment. So Islam gives us the rights of everyone. Now those things which cause the breakup of those relationships, many things have been discussed, but in Surah Hujurat, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives us some prescriptions, some ahkam, some orders, some commands. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala tells us how we will be able to maintain this good relationship. There's no time to go into a discussion of all those ayats, but then in this particular verse, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O ye believers. The beautiful address Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives or when he talks to the believers, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu. That means you have already believed in me, you have believed in my greatness, you have believed that I am your creator, I am the one who has created the whole universe. The heavens and the earth and everything belongs to me. You have accepted submission to my will and my desire. So therefore, if I say something, then it should not be difficult for you to accept. One great Allah wala used to say that whenever the word Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu is heard, then every mu'min and Muslim should get up because Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is addressing his beloveds, that you are my beloveds. اے میرے پیاروں اپنے کان سے غفلت کی روئی نکال کر کے سن لو. Beautifully to say. So therefore Allah تعالیٰ says avoid much suspicion, because some suspicion is sin. Without going into any detailed discussion or translation and meaning, just to tell you that how this is something that is causing so much of problem in the society. So many families have split up just because of this suspicion. Therefore, it is necessary that we should listen to this. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says that avoid much suspicion, because some suspicion is sin. One is when you are trading with somebody, then it doesn't mean that the person just comes and tells you that I have got a very big business and I have got plenty of money and I want so much of goods and merchandise, and you just send it away to my business house and the money will come away, so now you mustn't suspect anything and you must give it away. It doesn't mean that. When you are trading, when you are giving your daughter in marriage, or in any such kind of case, then there, you must not believe that person to be a liar. Just because he is talking to you, or you meet him, and you are discussing something, straight away we come to the conclusion that he must be a liar. He must be a crook. He must be a thief. He must be this or must be that. I mean, that must not be in our hearts that this person is a crook or is a thief or whatever he is. Deal with caution. There's nothing wrong with that. You deal with caution. You exercise caution as you would exercise in anything else. But don't believe that the person is indeed a crook or a liar or whatever it is until there is evidence to prove it. So this suspicion, in many cases, what happens is that people are told certain things by others and they come to a conclusion that the person must be like that because he just heard it from someone else. But the real thing that is causing so much of split and increasing this suspicion in the hearts of people, especially family members, when it comes to brothers, sisters, mother-in-laws, sister-in-laws, father-in-laws, cousins, aunts and uncles, then believe me that these Taoist people are causing great amount of suspicion and doubt in the minds of people. Let me tell you very honestly that the type of cases that we are now listening to and coming across, it is very frightening. But our people are so gullible that any person that has a headache, then he must go to some Taoist wala. He must go to some amil, because could be jadu, could be jadu. We have spoken on this subject at length in one of my majlis. However, what I am saying is this, that just the other day a case came where the couple went to this one Taoist wala. And the person, whatever he did, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give that person hidayat. But this couple, what that wife reported to the husband is very shocking. And it's not only just one person that has said such kind of things. Imagine that person, they say now he's got a mashallah beard. So does mashallah beard make that person pious and righteous? Beard is essential. It is the sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. There's great emphasis on it. But it does not make a person very pious and holy. You have to see the person's outward life, you have to see his character, you have to see what he is doing, what his actions are. In the same way, if a person is just making namaz, it doesn't make him very pious and righteous, but we won't say, now mustn't make namaz, because there are some people who make namaz and they steal, there are some people who make namaz and commit zina, there are some people who make namaz and they go to the gambling den, we see them there, so therefore all of us mustn't make namaz now. We won't say a thing like that. What we will say is that bring all the teachings of Islam into our lives. We need the beard too, we need the namaz too, we need the roza zakat too, we need everything. So now this person, he tells that woman, he says that you've got jinns in you and you will have to be treated. But I will have to come and see you when the husband had moved out. You must inform me when your husband is not at home. So then I will have to come inside and treat you. And na'uzu billah, can that person be a pious person? Can that person be doing genuine treatment? And then what was heard of what he is doing was very, very shocking to other women what he did. Therefore, my dear brothers and also sisters listening over the receivers, let us not be so gullible and fall for all these type of tricks and con men, because they are going to take away our iman also. They take away the iman of the people. If there is something that is suspected, the person is sick, then treat oneself, go to the doctors, go to the physician, go to the specialist. Make dua, and if a person is pious and righteous, his outward behavior, his character is well known, that he is not of those people who are mischievous and causing other kinds of problems in people's lives, then there's nothing wrong. Ask them to make dua, or if there is a place for ta'weez too, we don't say it's totally haram and forbidden or anything like that, taking it from some good pious alim. However, this whole system that we now have, that for little things our wives and our daughters are going to these amils, and thereafter these amils are abusing and molesting and doing all kinds of things. And then the worst part is that the suspicion, the thing that I was talking about, that straight away they create a doubt in the minds of the people. Sometimes they put a person into a trance, and I mentioned in one of my talks on this jinn jadu business, that you can put a person into a trance and make the person say whatever he wishes to. Haven't we heard of hypnotism? In hypnotism, you can put a person into a trance kind of state. The person outwardly is looking the same, but he performs in a very, very stupid manner. He will do things which are so silly and he'll never even think of doing such things in his life. But because he is under the effect of that hypnotist, or he is under the control of that hypnotist, so therefore now he is going to do and behave exactly like the hypnotist is working on his mind. So we have to be very careful. Now they put somebody into a trance, and now that woman starts saying in the trance state, she is being asked now when she is in the trance state, who did this jadu on you? Say, my mother-in-law. Who did this on you? Say, my father-in-law. Sometimes they say your father and your mother. Some sons were told that your own father is doing jadu, your own mother is doing jadu. Now that one woman, she was hysterical. She said, would I ever do jadu on my son? Do I want to see my son mad? But since this amil told him that, now his wife says, therefore, I don't want to have anything to do with your mother anymore and your father anymore, because they want to see our marriage broken. So we have to be very, very careful, because these are the things that we are talking about, that this suspicion, without any evidence, now the person is suspicious of everything, that this person could have done that, could have done that. Then another very important thing is this, that dreams do have some kind of interpretation. But all dreams do not have an interpretation. Many a times those dreams mean absolutely nothing, because it is the thoughts of the day that the person now is experiencing in his dreams. If a person, as I say, is a barber, and in his dream he sees he's cutting hair of somebody, then he's not going to have any kind of a meaning. If a person who is a wise, and he sees himself sitting on the minbar and giving bayan, then it doesn't really have much meaning. Then again, these dreams have to be interpreted by people who know the science of interpretation of dreams. It's not that exactly what you see, that is what it means. This is another weakness of ours, that the moment the person says to somebody, I saw this in the dream, then we start giving a kind of interpretation, exactly what the person saw, yes, that's what is going to happen to you. The person sees that his car got stolen, yes, you must watch out, your car will get stolen. It doesn't mean that. If the person saw his car getting stolen, it could be his father's car will get stolen, his uncle's car will get stolen, his brother's car would get stolen. Anything could mean. Snakes can mean different things, different meanings. Now here in the dream, the person sees that the maid was stealing from the house, or the woman sees that the maid was stealing from her cupboard. The maid is going in and out of her room and stealing from her cupboard. So she asked me for the interpretation of this. I said, don't come to a conclusion that it is definitely the maid that is stealing. It can have different meanings. What is definitely meant there is that somebody that is close, somebody that knows exactly what is happening in the house. But don't come to a conclusion that it is the maid that is stealing. After a few days, or 1-2 weeks, when they put some traps, it was the son that was stealing for his drug habit. The son was stealing from the mother's cupboard for his drug habits. And what did she see? The maid was stealing. Now what if she came to that conclusion and started taking off with that maid and arresting her and all kinds of things? Therefore, we should not run to conclusions and suspect something. If the person saw something being done in the dream by the own son or the daughter or the family members, it does not mean that that is exactly what is happening. Now these things create suspicion in the hearts of people, and immediately they come to conclusion, and after that these family relationships break up. There are so many who are not talking to their own family members, and those family members do not even know why they do not speak to us. They avoid them, they distance themselves. If that family member with a good heart and happiness comes to the house to visit, They come to visit because they say that it is sunnah, it is good, it is rewarding to visit family members. Now they come with a very good heart to visit. Now these people, there is a very, very cold shoulder. Everything is dry. And you can see like there is all kinds of tension there. The gazes are moving from this side to that side. In other words, now they are suspecting that this person that came will plant something somewhere. Because some amil said that they are doing jadu on you. So now this person came with a happy heart just to meet a family member because it is rewarding. And here that whole family now is watching very, very carefully that this person came to plant some jadu here. So these are the things that are creating suspicion. And sometimes it happens that a person hides something. Himself, he hides it. He's going out on a trip somewhere for a couple of weeks or days. And now he says that this money, we can't leave it here. This gold jewelry, she can't leave it here. Now what should we do? He says that I put it right under the mattress or put it right under the bed or put it somewhere in the ceiling. Now after some time, they forget themselves where they kept that. After some time, they forget themselves where they kept that item. Now when they come back, and they didn't even require it, after 6 months, 8 months, now they were needing that jewelry or that cash. When they go to look for it in the place where they used to normally keep, they don't find it. So they come to a conclusion that definitely this person stole it, that person stole it, this person must have taken it away. Whereas they kept it and they forgot themselves. After some time they find it when they're doing a spring cleaning of the house. So therefore Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu jitanibu kaseeran min azwan. إِنَّ بَعْضَ الظَّنِّ إِثْمٌ وَلَا تَجَسَّسُوا وَلَا يَغْتَبْ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا. And do not spy on others. I'm telling you that these are the things which causes a person to distance himself from family members, from relatives, which we discussed last night, that those who break their ties with family members, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala does not even forgive in that Mubarak nights unless those people ask for forgiveness. So what are those things that cause these type of problems? So one of the issues is just, we can't discuss in a little time all the issues. But these are some relevant things of our times which are happening very, very frequently and commonly. And so many families are being split. Of course there are other major issues, for example, inheritance problems. Now the son has been given all the property in the will. Now the sisters, for the children of the deceased and the wife of them. Now they are saying that we have a share, we have a right. They say, no, everything is in the will for me. Maybe in the will for you, but that is not Allah Ta'ala's will that you should take everything away. Yes, in his lifetime if he gave it, it's a different issue. But if he just wrote it in the will that I leave everything for my son, I leave everything for my wife. Now when those other people are asking for their shares according to Islamic law of Sharia, now there's a big war that starts. And no talking going on. Split in the family. So whenever a person is going to disobey Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and not fulfill the hukam of Allah ta'ala, any one party, it doesn't mean that that both parties are wrong. Both can't be wrong. Somebody should be right. But whenever there's disobedience of Allah Ta'ala, when Allah Ta'ala says that whenever I disobeyed Allah, that means not even deliberately, what he considered to be a sin, he says, I saw the effect of it on my horse also. That the horse which gives me a very nice and a pleasant ride, but when I disobey my Allah, then even that horse does not give a good ride, and he wants to throw me out. I saw the effect of my sin even on that horse. Now if the person says that, then every sin has got its effects. Whenever a person is going to disobey Allah Ta'ala, now in this matters of inheritance or whatever it is, when there's disobedience to Allah Ta'ala and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then there's definitely going to be this distancing, this separation, this friction, this disunity that will come. How many times you have heard, Nigahe aqreba badli mizaje dosta badla. Nigahe aqreba badli mizaje dosta badla. Nazar ek unki kya badli ke kul sara jahan badla. Nazar ek unki kya badli ke kul sara jahan badla. Once Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala removes his glance of mercy and forgiveness, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala becomes displeased, then the effects of the displeasure of Allah ta'ala will be felt in that whole family. Friends will distance themselves, or they will have fights, disputes, quarrels. Family members will have fights, disputes, quarrels. Society will start fighting, disputing and quarreling because they have disobeyed Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So we want to find solutions to problem, solution to problem, solution to problem. There is no other solution except that all parties, whether we are living in a home together or wherever it may be, but all parties have to obey Allah ta'ala. That is the solution to the problem. There will be sometimes a little bit of argument, a little bit of quarrel and dispute. But if it is a person who is obedient to Allah Ta'ala, then he'll say, now let's resolve it according to the Quran and Sunnah. Finish. If both parties accept that, then there's going to be no problem. Once there was a case in which there were 35 to 40 people. They were fighting and fighting for ages. I'm talking about the 70s. They were fighting for ages with regards to certain properties. And the people were growing and their ages were catching up to somewhere in the 40s, some in the 50s. But the matter was not getting resolved. Court cases and everything else. Then I invited all of them, 35 to 40, senior people amongst them. Now how do you resolve the problem of inheritance with them? So I took the Quran Sharif and I said, what is this? The Quran Sharif. Whose kalam it is? Allah Ta'ala's. What would you say if a person has to say that I love the Quran Sharif, it is the kalam of Allah Ta'ala. But there's only one ayat and one verse in the Quran Sharif which I'm not happy with. Will you accept that person as a Muslim? Now, could anybody say no? Everybody had to say, I will never accept that person as a Muslim. Because if a person says, I like the whole Quran Sharif, I don't like one verse of the Quran Sharif. So then I open to the chapter which discusses inheritance. I said, now this is the kalam of Allah Ta'ala, this is what it says about inheritance. Now, does anybody have any problem if we go by this Quran Sharif now? Always silent. Thereafter, I gave them the ruling according to the Quran and Sunnah. I said, I sign here now. Unless anyone has got problem with the Quran Sharif, then you can raise your hand. Masla hal, finish. So that is the solution to the problem. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, if he becomes pleased, then he'll put love into hearts. And if he becomes displeased, then he will put hatred into hearts. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq of amal. May Allah ta'ala distance us from nafs and shaitan. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala must give us his rada and his pleasure. Whoever sent this question, it's now no time to reply to this question. Inshallah, you can contact me later. It will take time to answer this question. Regarding brothers not in talking terms, etc. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala remove the difficulties, the hardship, the pain and suffering of the ummah around the globe and give us all the tawfiq of amal. Amal se banti hai zindagi, ye jannat bhi, jahannam bhi, ye khaki apni fitrat mein na noori hai, nari hai. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillah.